drop goal!
It's over! They've done it! Evans has done it!
Welcome back to another episode of Two Woods and Four Quarters, a Harlequins podcast. As always, I'm joined by my cousin Will, but we're very lucky to be joined by a pretty special guest, Will Evans. How are you, mate?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you, boys?
Mate, we are still... I'm still a bit shattered after the weekend. And my body clock hasn't quite turned itself around yet from our 30-hour stint, but, mate, we're in good spirits. We're heaping out on the golf course today, which is always good fun. How's the body after the weekend?
Body's good. The skin actually is doing all right after that baking hot sauna that we were in. You can probably tell I'm slightly red still, but it's nice to get back to 13 degrees where I feel at home.
Will took a photo of me in the sort of banks of the stadium after the game, because we were obviously on that side of the pitch and the sun was in that side. So I had like a sunglasses light just on my left side of my face, which is good. And this side of my neck still a little bit raw, but
only the left-hand side though, isn't it?
Only the left-hand side. It's like, like one of those like half and half characters who's like got to spin round twice to get different things. But
like that episode of Friends with Ross.
Yeah, exactly.
It was unbearable, wasn't it? It was.
Oh, I quite liked it. I could get used to it.
Tough gig, isn't it? Sitting in the sun, watching the boys play.
Well, when I watched Will Porter dive over for that try and there was just a bounce, sort of bobble over the line as opposed to a slide. I did think they should have watered the pitch before, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, test out the shoulder.
Yeah.
But look, mate, we're going to dive straight into a couple of real nitty-gritty bits. So the first main question is, are Norwich going to make a run at the playoffs this year?
I think we're pretty much there, bar a few more games. I think we probably will sneak into sixth. Just depends who we're going to play in the semi-final. I'm gagging for an Ipswich semi-final. I've been having my fingers crossed for them to bottle it the whole season. And finally, I think looks like, oh, well, all three of them are bottling it, actually. Leeds and someone else. But they can't buy a win, those top three. So I'm hoping Ipswich are going to bottle it and we get them in the semis. That'll be a bit of a nervy one because we've still not lost to them for 15 years, I think it is now. So it's a nice one to keep going.
When are the playoffs?
Mid-May, isn't it?
I think it is mid-May.
Is it going to clash? It might clash.
Yeah, I think if we get to some sort of final, I might have to take it off.
I'm not having it.
Imagine that meeting with Billy. So, Billy, I'm going to have to take another scheduled rest week semi-final when we're at home to Bath. Oh, why is that, mate? Your body a bit sore? No. Norwich are away at Ipswich in the playoffs. And I can't miss
Josh Charlton's going to bag a hat-trick, mate. I can't miss that.
Oh, class. My European run with Brighton ended a bit unceremoniously with getting battered 4-0 away at Rome in that first leg. So I'm glad that Quins have given me another little shift into Europe this year. Otherwise, I'd have been a bit sore by it.
Do you do the away tours?
Mate,
Brighton,
so I was at work because I'm a teacher. Right? It's difficult to like get time off. So my dad and my brother went to Marseille. We tried to get tickets for Ajax because that was over half term, but we're not season ticket holders. I don't live in London and they were literally gone like that. And I had two mates that live and work in Amsterdam. And I was like, if you can get me a ticket to Ajax, I'll sit anywhere in the ground. I don't care. I just won't put a Brighton shirt on during the game. I tried everything I could and couldn't find a ticket. I was gutted. But my dad and my brother went to Marseille and got trapped in the stadium for about 3.5 hours after the game. There was 125 of them on like a 50-people bus. There was people being sick on each other. It was absolutely chaos. Right.
But no, I'd bite your hand off for a European tour with Norwich.
Oh, man, my dad's been following the Albion for 50-something plus years. And he was like, I wouldn't have missed it for the world. Watching Pascal Gross knocked that one in the bottom corner to make it 2-1, and then the urge afterwards. I wouldn't have missed it. So, yeah, I was pleased he was there, even if I couldn't make it.
Well, that's where the rugby ones are good, though, right? Because if you want to go, you can go. And we've been pretty blessed with a good few. I mean, the French ones are the best ones. We absolutely love the French ones we've done. Cast, Argennes, Montpellier, obviously Bordeaux last weekend.
Paris.
Probably the best we've ever done. Paris as well. Not as good as the others, but... from your perspective, Wev, you've been quite outspoken on how good the away section in rugby is. We don't get it all the time. We get it for the European away days, thanks to Quinza, who are absolutely amazing. And then we had it a couple of years back for London Irish, which was just funny because it became a home game. And it was one of the best rugby days we've had. What is it from a player's perspective that makes it so good? Outside of the obvious, we make more noise. What makes it so special, and why have you been so outspoken, and why rugby should have them?
It just drives you on. You sit in the change room before the game, you think, oh, I wonder how many we brought this week. It kind of becomes a running discussion between the players. The players really do feed off that energy. I think people who aren't involved with Quins, I think Munster and Leinster and the Irish teams do it well, but other clubs around England, certainly the fan base, I don't think they quite understand what it does. And it's so frustrating when you get back at on social media or in the street or something, that I think the people who haven't experienced it are the normally or always the ones who don't want it. So Quins are obviously doing such an incredible job of getting everyone together. And I think every fan who comes along on that journey comes home and is like, wow, I want to do that again. The players are exactly the same. They thrive off that energy.
Do you boys talk about it like in the week? Is it like, oh, lads, there's going to be 400, 500, 600. They're all going to sit in that little corner. Is it much conversation, or is it just like, you know, we'll sort of see them when we get there?
Now, sometimes even in the team meetings, Billy or someone on the coaching staff will be like, this is how many tickets we've sold. They're all going to sit together. What an atmosphere we're going to create. Feed off that. We all do. We have so much respect for you boys, especially in Quinzer, who drive that atmosphere. It's the fact that it's mentioned in team meetings is clearly quite important. So more the merrier, really.
Because I was saying, I was looking back through it during the week. There was, like I said, I think it was that tweet you put out after the Paris game. Because when we went to Paris at La Défense, I said it before, because it was like indoor, we couldn't, I don't know, it felt different being in like the indoor stadium. It felt like you would shout and scream whatever, and the noise sort of got lost like 4 or 5 yards away from you. Whereas when you were at Bordeaux, it's so open and like, it was just a bit more old school. The noises seemed to travel more. But that Paris game was ridiculous, because you were literally all in one sort of big, long, straight block. And it just happened that Caden scored that ridiculous try in the corner when Marcus has ran through about three lads and slipped a dummy. And just like watching you run over and just like give it beaters. And you can see how much people like react to it. It's mental watching it. It's so much fun.
Yeah, I do remember that really vividly, that score in the corner from Caden. And then you look up and there's just a sea of quarter shirts. It's such an incredible feeling. And I think subconsciously you then try and recreate that. I think there's no coincidence. You get these really high scoring games where scoring lots of points. I think a lot of that is to do with the atmosphere that's created in the stands does kind of create some kind of chaos. You might delve into your body just that little bit more because people really care, and the noise is mental. And I feel like when you maybe get 5,000 people in one stadium and the atmosphere is a bit dreary, sometimes the game can reflect that.
Yeah. So we'll talk a little bit more about away days, because like, this is one of the things that Wim and I love the most. Which is the favourite away day that you've ever done as a fan? So you can go Norwich or Quincy, because there are some photos of you with your top off at Bristol giving it proper beans, which went did the rounds, which I thought was unbelievable. Excellent. But like as a fan and a player, which are your favourite two away days you've done?
The Bristol one by far outweighs anything I've been to a lot of away games in football with Norwich, and I don't know whether it was because it was so crazy and the comeback was so insane, but like the atmosphere there was awesome. I'd probably say the atmosphere that we just played in Bordeaux as a player, that was probably the craziest one I've experienced while on the field. That amphitheatre that they have got there, it's proper old school.
Yeah, just feels like, it's like a Colosseum.
Exactly, yeah. It feels like you're actually out there fighting and battling away, and like I said, that was a crazy game, and I wasn't surprised because it was so loud. The French teams always have good support, but I think the Quins fans did their level best to make themselves heard as well.
But that's why we love them. It feels like everyone's got to give that extra 10%. From a typical Stoop match day, everyone doubles down a little bit more. And if you're investing in that trip, you're not going to turn up and be half-hearted. You're going to give it your all in the stands as well. And that's why it's so rewarding when you give it your all. I mean, obviously the lads give it their all on the pitch to get the win, but like you feel like you really are part of it, and we absolutely love it. And I mean, hopefully in a couple of weeks' time, we can trump Bordeaux with another massive French away day in Toulouse. As we sit here at 8 o'clock in the evening on a Thursday, general sale tickets are alive as of tomorrow. But Quinn's priority sale started yesterday, I think, and we had 2,000 allocated to us. I believe they're all sold out. Is that something that the boys know about, or is that something that you'll talk about nearer the time? But I imagine it will be probably a record away day for Harlequins in the semi-finals of the European Cup, which is incredible.
Yeah, I saw that. There was something on social media about the 2,000 that already been or was close to being sold out. It's absolutely insane. It's pure chaos, and I don't know how many we get on general sale. Do you know how much it is?
I think they're doing like a general sale for the whole stadium, because it's technically a neutral venue, even though it's obviously
okay,
not.
Okay, I see. Yeah.
So we get, like, it was the priority access was 2,000. I think there was an extra 300 that went on as well. And they're all gone.
Yeah.
So I think the general sale goes on tomorrow, which will be Friday. Obviously, this will come out on Monday. So if you haven't got them, you best go and try and find them quickly by the time you hear this.
Probably gone by the time this
Probably. But I think, so Quinns have put something out on social media saying, this is where all the seats have gone for the priority sale. If you can get any on general sale in there, you'll be with all the Quinns fans, which would be great. But Will literally text me at 1:46 today. I assume you're either on your lunch break or doing something. He said, Toulouse is too long away. I can't stop thinking about it. How long have we got left?
We've not stopped speaking about it. Players ordered to our hotel. We need to we need to figure out who we communicate with. I'm sure somebody in the club listening to this can tell us. We need to find out when and where the bus is arriving, and give our boys French welcome with quartered flares, flags, songs, the lot.
That would be outrageous.
Turn up and take over.
No, that would be unbelievable. Walking off the bus to absolute chaos. Now, that'd be brilliant.
We'll make it happen,
mate. Please do that.
We've literally had boys texting us saying we've got Amazon flares to our hotel that we're not staying until the Saturday night, so we've got to book it and get in there for Thursday and have someone say, oh, do you mind just signing for this and putting it up in my room?
It's so just getting that for your hand luggage on the flight.
Exactly. So good. I mean we can't look too far ahead. We've got a massive game at Celle on the weekend, and obviously big summer kicker before that, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But I was also watching this week, I went back and watched the Iron Will. I'm not sure if that's something that sits particularly well with you, this sort of big Iron Will documentary, but I did watch it. Obviously, bit of a flashback to that nasty injury where Irish, and I forgot actually that it was the game you returned back in the Prem Cup was at Irish. Was that, I know you sort of mentioned it on the video, but how big of a mental hurdle was that to actually go, do you know what, I want it to be back here and not another game? Was that something that you really thought about in a sort of really detailed way?
It was nice actually, just to get it out of the way on the first game. Then after that, I'd never had to look back again. Just to get it done, because that, I don't want to make it sound bigger than it was, but it to me that was a horrific injury. I did spend a long, long time trying to get that back right again. In the midst of all that, I then tore my hamstring, which needed more surgery. So I think it was probably around 11 months since I then played again.
Was it on the same leg you did your hamstring as well? Was it a different leg?
Yeah, so I had some kind of complications with the bolts that went into my leg were quite close to my hamstring tendon, which made running, nearly impossible. So I got them out, then I was feeling great. Then maybe tried to sprint slightly too early and my hamstring wasn't strong enough and ended up tearing quite badly. So that needed some surgical repair, which I think that added another 3.5 to 4 months on. So in the end, it was nearly a year. So to get back literally at the same ground where I got injured with this pretty horrific injury was nice, just to get out of the way, and all was said and done after that game. I think I started the game on my return, and I only planned to play 30. But it was so nice to get back out in that ground where it happened before. Yeah. It was nice to get the monkey off the back real quick. And then, as I said, never looked back again after that. It was never had any issues with it, touch wood.
Was that also the first really like major injury you'd say you've had? Or had you had something along that sort of similar time frame before?
That was definitely the worst one. I mean, I've had three other surgeries on the right leg. I've never had surgery anywhere else apart from my right leg.
Really?
So I had ankle surgery when I was 17 and then did my knee on that side at around 21. And then this big one. And then the hamstring surgery. So it's four surgeries on that leg and nothing else.
Like Achilles with his tendon. That's the bit. That's the weak bit.
Exactly. Yeah. For some reason, my right leg just absolutely gets it. I'm not sure why, but yeah. Hopefully, that's all said and done, and I'll have an injury. Well, now I've said it, I'm sure that might not be the case. But
No. We're not having that.
Free. I'm touching wood.
We're all touching wood here.
It's quick, we'll just touch anything. Quick.
Hopefully, go through a season where injury free, which would be really nice. It was quite. Unheard of, really, as a back rower. It's so attritional.
Well, that was kind of leading me on to my next question. Is I imagine that has impacted your training, not necessarily your rugby training, but your conditioning, your gym work. And this year, you're looking a lot more stockier and a lot stronger than I think I've seen you in previous years. Is that a deliberate, conscious effort based on previous injuries? Is that deliberate because you want to try and change the way you play a little bit, maybe more in the carry? Is that, what's the sort of story behind that?
I think just the fact that all international sevens in this country are probably over 105 to 110 kilograms. So try to put on a little bit of weight. I try not to focus too much on the weight thing these days. I used to probably in my early 20s just try and eat so much. And God, it was so hard. I'm quite well. I'd like to say I'm 6 foot, but
me too, mate.
Will does the same thing, mate.
Just under. So I'm not massively tall, and obviously it is a big thing to be quite heavy. And I've definitely tried to improve my carrying stats this year. I've tried to get my hands on the ball a bit more because I didn't. These days, you can't just be a one-trick pony. You have to kind of do everything. So it's not been a conscious effort, but. I'm definitely I'm sitting at around 102 kilograms this year, whereas maybe I might have been 100 in previous years.
Must have been quite nice standing behind Chandler on the weekend, then just watching him do all the big heavy work up front, and then you just get your head over it on the return leg.
It's the handling as well, isn't it? With Wev, I remember was it Bath or Glasgow where we had the 3-on-1 or something? You threw that massive left hand pass to put somebody
against Bath in the draft. Yeah, I've definitely tried to get my hands on the ball a bit more. Which has been nice actually, because normally I just stand on the wing and watch everyone else do it. But yeah, it's been nice just to do a bit more, especially in opposition 22. We've kind of adapted our attacking philosophy this year, especially with Danny Wilson coming in, with like slightly more intricate lines off 9. And I feel like that definitely suits me. If try and get a half shoulder. Off of 9 and carry a bit more. I've really enjoyed that role.
Well, hopefully let's not give away too much, because somebody from Sale does listen to this, because we were looking at this we were looking at this earlier. Someone was trawling through some Sale fan forum trying to see what they were saying about the weekend, and someone said, oh, well, the Harlequins fan podcast said this will be our team for the weekend, so we could feed them some real shit here and they might cotton on to it and really, really upset them. So let's not give away too much, but
you might have to cut that bit then.
Yeah. Well, we might take drop Danny a message and say, Wes been talking about these lines off 9. Should we leave that bit out? I think this is one of my favourite nicknames in rugby, the clamp.
Yeah.
Any idea who started that, or is it just someone that's taken off?
Yeah, that was coined by Scott Baldwin.
Nice. Okay.
We love Baldwin.
Probably about 3 years ago. I still cringe at it. I'm not gonna lie to you, lads.
Really?
Still do cringe at it, but yeah, it's stuck now, so I've got to stick with it.
I mean, I reckon in the last probably 2 or 3 months, it's been in my top 10 news emojis, I think.
What, the clamp emoji?
Yeah.
Comes up with the clamp.
Yeah, the handshake, Joker.
And the purple aubergine.
Stitch-ups. But this is something I'm a bit interested in because I'm a little bit of a sports nerd and I watch loads of these silly documentaries. And specifically with your skill set, the breakdown, it's 18 leading the Premiership. I don't know the overall in Europe, but it is leading Europe. Do you know the specific number?
In Europe?
Yeah, well, just in general.
12 in Europe.
There you go. So what, so 30 in general. I love a man that knows his stats.
Yeah, like... yeah, this is good. Can we dig a little bit deeper on this? So do you count them in your head throughout the game? Do you count them throughout the season? Do you treat this like your try tally chart or is this...
Yeah, so sometimes, well, I'll always have them in, after the game, I'll always have them in my head and then I'll kind of look at the stats and see basically if they've got it wrong or not. And sometimes they sneak me out of one, which is annoying. But I think Oval Insights? Do you guys ever go on that? They're
occasionally,
they're
good. Yeah.
I think I bumped into one of the guys who either runs it or works there at a nightclub in Manchester. So I think he's trying to sort me out. Got me out with a few extra jackals this year.
Imagine bumping into someone in a nightclub in Manchester with a Jaeger bubble in hand, mate. If you just... Stay a couple more there. Yeah.
I could see him look at me. I was like, I assume like he knows who I am. Like Manchester's not a very big rugby presence, is it? And he was like, oh, I work for Oval Insights. I was like, oh, fucking hell. Help me out, please, lad.
Such niche nightclub chat.
A bit different to yours, Will. You're usually lingering around in the smoking area, sort of checking over shoulders, aren't you?
That makes me sound awful. I'm absolutely not that.
You stitched me up last week with some crafty sock chats. So
I can't remember the last time I was in the nightclub. If I was doing Manchester away this weekend, though, sailed away this weekend, I would have done Manchester on Saturday, which would have been quite good. But
my last nightclub was Cardiff post that.
Oh, yeah, same.
After the gym.
We went to this absolutely hanging place in Cardiff.
Are we calling that a nightclub? Coyote Ugly?
That's about as close as I've been since I left university. So it was absolutely hanging gaff, but it was quite good fun. It's like £1.75 for a can of lager in there. It was absolutely giving them away.
We were on the bus for about 5 hours straight after the game. I think we got back at about 4 a.m. So I've enjoyed.
A few beers on the bus? Or?
Nah, literally none, because everyone had to drive home. So
That's a good point, actually. Is that something... Why do the team usually do that? It's normally straight on the plane or the bus home after a game, isn't it? Is that just to get home to families for the day off the next day, or
it's just the budget? Like, is it? It's probably costs about, well, I wouldn't know the exact figure, but it's tens of thousands of pounds to keep a rugby team in a hotel with food. So it's a bit of a no-brainer just to get the bus home, really.
Yeah,
save yourself £30,000.
The food bill's the one that's probably the killer, isn't it? All the boys are hungry after the game and need stocking up.
Yeah, exactly. It is mental how much the boys can put away, especially when you go to France. The baguettes absolutely get it.
who's the biggest eater?
It's a good question. Will Collier can put it away.
Yeah, I bet he can.
George didn't play against Bordeaux, but goodness me, he put away some baguettes with salted butter as well.
Yeah.
He could put them away.
Real proper crusty loaf territory, like properly,
it kind of scrapes your mouth, so your mouth's a bit bloody afterwards. But
proper dream. we're going to dive back onto the Jackal Chat because I did actually have a question lined up. Because I'm a massive sports nerd, when I watch these documentaries, you see like NFL quarterbacks who will spend hours pausing and rewinding, you know, things of them. And this is a bit more nerdy, but I watch a lot of Aussie Rules, and there's a player in the Western Australia side called Nat Fyfe who will pause and rewatch stoppages like in the middle of the game. Do you spend that level of detail at the breakdown, or are you just a bit more reactive? Are you like team room coach, pause, rewind, stop it there, look at this?
To be honest, I don't want this to be digging myself out or making myself look unprofessional, but I won't ever look at jackal opportunities for other teams, purely because I think it's so nuanced and the pictures can change all the time that I feel like I don't really need to look at where I think their weaknesses are, because sometimes it can only happen once and you get this false picture in your mind.
Yeah,
I feel like in the game, the picture is always different. I'll always review my own jackals from if I've gone in and not affected the ball or gone into a silly one where I shouldn't have. But I won't ever preview other teams. And I don't want to make that sound like...
No, I think it makes sense. It's like I suppose from an outside perspective, someone who's never done it in their life, I suppose if you look for certain cues and they don't appear, you almost then don't react to the ones that do.
Exactly, yeah, and you're always looking for one where you think it should happen, and you might go there and that picture not arrive, and you'd be like, oh, well, I've just wasted myself in this one. So it really is, it's so instinct. I think you got to be instinctive with it. If you see someone, it's a couple of yards away as a clearer, a bit further away than where they should be, that can pop up literally anywhere in the field. So no, I don't do too much analysis on that, but I'll always review the one. So after the game, I'll review if I've made a silly mistake, or if I've made a good jackal, I'll be like, why have I done that? Why is my technique, or how has my technique been good to achieve a turnover? But nothing too much on the opposition.
More time spent looking at your goal swing technically rather than your...
Oh my God, it needs some work. Right. I duffed the ball so many times today.
Those fairways they're not quite dry yet, mate. They're wet out there.
Yeah. That's what I keep telling myself. But in the middle of summer, when it's 35 degrees and I'm still saying the same thing. That's where your issues come from.
If we spend any more time talking golf, Will's gonna log off. He hates the golf chat. I did the same with Finn Baxter when he came on. I spent 5 minutes chewing him out on golf, and Will almost had to walk out of the room.
You might lose a few listeners as well.
Yeah, probably.
It's true. Let's come back to rugby then. And I don't want to put you on a spot at all or make you feel uncomfortable. We would love to talk about England, because we think you should be in the reckoning. Everybody's talking about you this season in particular. There's a lot of form 15s going around at the moment that have got you bang on at number 7. Do you think about it much? Have you had much interaction with the coaches? You're just focused on Quins. Are you just going to keep turning up and doing what you do? But have you had any contact from anybody at all?
No, is the short answer to that. It's strange. I think it shows how important Europe is, because obviously I've done all right in these past two games, and
yeah,
I think I've done 3 or 4 media outlets this week, and everyone's asked the same thing. So it kind of shows if you do well in Europe, people really do start bigging you up or putting you into the England frame, which is good, I guess. But I've had no contact, and to be honest, it doesn't pop into my mind these days anymore. I kind of say the same thing every time someone's asked me this week, is I just don't think about it really anymore. I've documented before that has made me really miserable thinking about it for hours and hours on end. It's like not being able to get to sleep thinking about it. So as of a couple of years ago, I really have just parked it. And it's been so nice, just because I end up enjoying my rugby again.
Yeah.
Well, it's quite notable as well, actually. I mean, the trademark double fist pump after any turnover is something that we absolutely adore. But it's quite evident, I think, that it just seems like psychologically you're at peace with things. And I mean, from the outside looking in, it looks like you live a relatively normal life. I think you live with mates in Clapham or something, don't you? In fact, when was it, Mike? Can you remember? We saw Paris. Your Facebook listing for a roommate on Mate's Place or something. So, like, you live an unbelievably normal life. Is that a conscious decision, again, just to kind of keep you grounded, or is that just something that you want?
Just something that I want, really. And also quite a big mortgage in London, kind of needs some rooms to be let out. But no, I do agree. Like, it is slightly weird that you get this professional sportsman advertising a room when his mates moved out. I like to live a normal lifestyle, like just like anyone else. Got loads of mates in London, and it's so nice just to get away from Surrey Sports Park and not have to think about rugby at all on my days off, which is great. And I do feel a lot freer having put it to bed, really, or the England stuff, which is really nice. And you know, I'm out here living my best life, you know.
Come on. Well, are you training to training, or do you drive?
No, I drive. So nice. We're probably one of the, well, I don't know if this is true, but we only train 3 times a week. Sometimes if we got short turnaround, we'll only train twice during the week. So we're really lucky with how much time we get off just to rest up and recover, because the coaches trust that on the weekend we're going to put everything out there, and we've learnt our stuff, and So that extra day of being able to just recover is fantastic. And it's obviously good living quite far away. And you're not in all the time. You're not sitting in the car for 2 hours per day. It is really nice that they have the trust in us to get the job done with lots of rest time.
It's satisfying, isn't it? Just having that like extra day, especially if you're, like you say, 4 or 5 days a week and you have a poor result. And you sometimes hear about it with football sides. You know, you get hammered on the Saturday and the manager's dragging you in on the Sunday, and you just think there's no let off. And I suppose it's a different world. But let's talk about something a bit more joyous than having days off. Was when you actually signed for Quins. How did that come about? I can't actually remember what year it was or who was leading up at the time. But obviously, leaving Leicester, coming from that sort of northeast part of the world, what was that transition like initially?
So it was strange. I went to go live in Guildford. I live with Luke Northmore and Tom Lauder in one of Carl Sinclair's many Guildford houses, I assume. So we were all newbies at the club. He'd obviously come from Cardiff Met and Lauder from Exeter. It was nice to throw us three in, complete newbies, not met each other before, and we've stayed really, really good mates throughout our Quins career. It felt like we were 22. Lordo was a bit older, because as you could probably tell. But yeah, we were only fresh faced when we first came. It was Guzzy who signed us all, and he probably did fair enough to him. Like, we're us three now are probably, I don't want to say senior, but we're quite integral parts of the squad, we'd like to think now. So it's nice, all three of us kind of doing it together. But came from Leicester, Guzzy signed me. So I had a deal on the table from Leicester, kind of the same money as well. So I'd not really played. I think I'd made just under 50 appearances for Leicester. But I thought I wasn't really starting very often and thought it was probably time for a change. And it's honestly the best decision I've ever made. I absolutely adore this club, and I'd hope to be here for many more years to come.
We certainly hope the same. I mean, it's been like the last couple of years have been sort of post that Premiership final win as well. Like, the up and down of it, it's been absolutely wild. But when the ups are up, it's so much fun. I was just bored on the weekend. It's just another ridiculous example of it. But
before coming here, I'd never experienced those kind of highs. I guess probably because Leicester weren't, at the time I was there, weren't doing very well in the table. Yeah. I think we were nearly got relegated one year. I think it was us and Newcastle fighting out for last place. But the highs I've experienced at this club are just some of the most unbelievable, and I'm so grateful to a lot of people here.
Well, we'll quickly dive on to the weekend coming up there. I know we're also recording this on a Thursday, so it's going to be a little bit outside of it. But Sale this weekend, we spoke about the sort of physical challenge that they present this weekend. Although they're not playing the best rugby, we sort of get the idea that Big Al Sanderson might not be the biggest fan of Harlequins. So what's what's on the menu for the boys this weekend? How are they all feeling?
Yeah, everyone's confident. I think in our heads, we've been to this incredible stadium with the most amazing atmosphere. We're certainly not scared about going up to Manchester and hopefully doing a job. They're a very good team. They're a very physical team. Might take slightly different game plan to the one we put out in Bordeaux, but certainly it's a challenge we're really looking forward to. Hopefully matching that physicality and putting some points on the board, because it's so tight at the table currently.
It's a bit of a stark reality from the sunny south of France to the frozen wasteland in Salford, isn't it? It's not a bit night and day. And then obviously the week after that, again, without wanting to really jump ahead and look too far ahead, is big summer kickoff, another chance to run out of Twickenham against, you'd have to say, probably the leading side, you know, the ones that set the benchmark in the league this year. Do the boys look at that specific fixture sort of 3, 4, 5 weeks out and are all thinking, God, I want to be fit, I want to be in the side?
Not touched on it at all, actually, in team meetings. It's such a cliche, but taking one game as it comes, because you lose this weekend and top four might become a bit of an issue. So, well, not an issue, but it certainly will make our job a lot harder. So getting, 5 points would be a massive step towards that. And then we can start looking at another massive occasion in front of a lot of fans, which would be another great atmosphere and we're looking forward to. But we've not touched on big summer kickoff quite yet.
That's interesting to hear, isn't it? And I think I know the answer to this one, but before we get into some quick fire questions, we just want to know, we're in a European semi-final, currently in the top four, only a handful of games left. What do you think we can achieve this year?
I think we can obviously get our hands on a trophy.
Come on! That's what we wanted.
Two of them.
There's no doubt we can get our hands on the trophy. Clearly, Europe is a huge ask for a team that has never got past the quarterfinal stage, or a club that's never got past the quarterfinal stage. That would, in my opinion, Europe is the pinnacle of rugby in general, outside of internationals in any tournament. So we're not quite thinking about that one yet. We need probably a home semi-final. It's really tight, because playing a semi-final away from home, at any ground in any competition, is a very tough ask. But this team's done silly things before, and I'm sure we'll do silly things again. So now we're all really up for the challenge.
Get that on a t-shirt.
Yeah. Why not us? Why not us? We'll dive into some quick fire before we let you enjoy your evening. So we've got two or three, okay? What's your favourite thing about playing for Quins?
It would be that you can be yourself. You can be yourself. You don't need to put on any kind of act at this club. Everyone will take you for what you are, which is great.
Love it.
Favourite post-game celebration?
I don't have one specifically, but any game at the Stoop after a big, hefty win with loads of points on the boards, and everyone in the change room looks around and goes, "Should we have a beer tonight?" And then we kind of give that nice little nod, and then we go out and have 100 pints. They're my favourite memories.
I'm going to very quickly stop the quickfire questions. We need to make a deal, right? I can't remember after what game it was, and I've been trying to think about this for 2 days, but I think it was a Friday night, and we were in front of the DHL stand, sort of having a beer and having some photos, and you rushed over, and I had two pints in my hand. Someone just gave me one, and I handed you one and said, "Go on, race me," and you absolutely wiped to the floor with me. So
yeah,
after...
I hope the cameras weren't on that.
No, they weren't, luckily. There wasn't anyone with the phone out. So
luckily for Mike's sake.
Yeah, exactly. So the deal is, after we win the double, me v you boat race on the A316 bridge between the Stoop and Twickenham. Rematch.
Yeah, you are.
Fine, deal.
Why on the bridge?
Just cool, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, whatever you want. Whatever you want. Right, back to quick fire.
We'll do it on the try line.
Yeah, fine.
Oh, yeah, nice. Yeah, nice.
Fine, deal. Best player you've ever played opposite?
What, in terms of seven or just any number?
Well, both. Seven and then any number.
I love name dropping this one. I've played against Dan Carter a couple of times.
Nice.
That was a good one. Seven wise, it'd probably be Khaleesi, just because double World Cup winning captain. You can't really beat that, can you?
When did you play Dan Carter?
Played him for Leicester. We had Racing 92 in the group stage a couple of times. He was just a maestro. Absolutely loved it.
Best player you've ever played with?
Yeah.
With Marcus, just because he just does silly stuff and it's great to watch in training and in games.
Nominated for European Player of the Year, wasn't he? Today.
Go on, lad.
Yeah, go on, Marcus. I'm reading this one out. I don't know if I like the answer to this one. Best ground other than the Stoop?
Welford Road, just because I played there before and it holds the most and is... great atmosphere, to be fair. Can't knock it.
Fair enough. Post-game karaoke song?
Sang this one in Portugal quite recently. It's All About You by McFly.
Oh, really nice.
Know all the words. Nice. Bash it out.
I've actually got Stargirl on my weekly playlist.
That'd be my second go-to.
Fine.
Maybe loads of McFly.
Yeah, just a good sing-along, isn't it, really?
I'm all over that.
McFly was the first band I ever saw live, actually.
I actually hated McFly at that age because Busted was still around, and I always thought they.
I was a Busted guy.
Well, the reason I saw them first is because I'd gone to see Busted and McFly with a supporting act. So I saw them first, and then Busted came on.
Doubled up.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, look, we'll leave it there. We're all Busted fans at heart. Will, thanks so much. Thanks so much for your time, mate. Thanks for joining us. And fingers crossed that the next 2, 3, 4 and whatever the rest of the season is going to be class. And thank you for always giving it beans because we absolutely love it.
Thanks, lads. Really appreciate it. And I appreciate your support as well. You boys are always the first on the beers and the last on the beers on the away games. So keep it up.
Top man.
Nice one. Cheers, Web.
Go well, lads.
Oh, well, we sit here on a Sunday afternoon, a little bit deflated after the result up in the north of England. But we are joined by the voice of Stoop Live, the voice of Harlequins and co-host of our big summer podcast next weekend. Dave Rogers, how are you, brother?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm feeling optimistic. I'm really looking forward to seeing everyone at the weekend in the sunshine. It's just Sunday, isn't it? It's just Sunday. It's Sunday where we try and be positive and we try and be optimistic, and then you come out on the wrong side of a one score game for the first time in 3-1 score games, and you just do a bit like.
How good is it having Dave here, by the way? Be worried that it would be slightly more negative.
Yeah, it helps, doesn't it? It does help.
Dave wasn't here, so I'm very, very happy you're here, Dave.
And
he's come dressed as a pilot as well.
Yeah, well, this is
what's this bit of kit?
This is where I do. I think I've said this on podcasts that I've done with you before. This is literally where I do a lot of my commentary from. So this is my commentary headset where I do the Italian league from, where I do Japanese rugby league one from, where I do the rugby.
You humble brags here.
He's the busiest man in rugby.
Yeah, and every
and
other
volleyball.
Sport.
Yeah,
and volleyball. And volleyball.
So yeah, but this is where I do a lot of work from, and this is the headset I wear. And I've also, I know this is a podcast, but some people watch on video. I've got a couple of these knocking about as well.
Oh, yeah, proper, very good.
The John Motson style.
Yeah, that is proper John Motson,
well.
That one. Yeah, up against the upper lip, which you've got a little bit going on there now at the minute, haven't you?
Oh, I've taken it all off.
Is that deliberate?
I grew... I was.
It's like mixed Movember attempt.
Well, I grew a moustache, and I was actually wearing it, and I was quite enjoying it for a bit of fun. And I'm doing England students versus France students in a couple of weeks. And we had a call.
Oh, it's
like
a bit
this.
French.
And there's a woman called Elisa who's in charge of England students. And I've logged into the call like this. I've never met her before. We've had a few emails and there's about 7 or 8 people on this call. And she's gone, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realise we'd invited a porn star.
Goodness.
By the way, shoe on the other foot. Imagine that going the other way.
To be fair, her moustache wasn't as good as mine. So I just kept my mouth shut.
Very good. But no, Will, you're absolutely right. This is a bit of a treat for the listeners. Obviously, we've just heard from Will Evans as well. And to get Dero John, it's a bit of an oral explosion for the boys this week. No, I said oral. I meant audio.
That?
I meant audio. I've said audio.
Please.
Yeah, we'll leave
that's
that
the
in.
Back of the porn star chat, and you've thrown that in as well. Keep that in, Leo. It's all fun and games. Anyway, carry on, Mike.
I meant audio. I said oral. We'll just scratch it and move on, or maybe it'll make the cut. We'll see.
Hey, we're all talking, mate. It's an oral explosion too.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, should we talk some rugby?
Yes.
Please.
Because as I say, we have just been unfortunately beaten by Sale Sharks, 37-31. I only put out our 3-word reviews tweet about 5 minutes ago, so hopefully some people have got their fingers on the pulse nice and quickly, and we'll do them in a few minutes. But let's we haven't got loads of time to talk about the game in real nitty-gritty detail. As we said, we've spoken to Wev, and we've got some big summer podcast stuff to produce or promote as well. So go on, let's start with you, Will. Give us your sort of overarching thoughts on the game as a whole without going into the too nitty-gritty bits of it.
Well, I don't think we need too much time on it anyway. It's quite compartmental, isn't it? The first 20-25 minutes we were very poor, I think a little bit tired and slow to start, and people can make theories up about Bordeaux or the travel up to Manchester. It's just been a very long season, and actually we talk about rotating, we haven't rotated a huge amount since the break. There was a lot of talk for Danny and Joe. But apart from that, not too many bodies have been rotated. And maybe that told in the first 20 minutes where the bodies were a little bit slower to wake up. I thought Sale were actually very good at times, and a couple of their tries were very nice. I did think we gifted them a lot. I think our handling was very, very poor at times. But ultimately, 2 points away at Sale, when we rewind 2 weeks, even ahead of Bordeaux, we'd have said, just win your home games and you'll be in the sniff of the top four. I think if we wanted to get a home semi-final and get top two, we needed to win. So perhaps we can wave goodbye to that now. But at this point, I don't really mind. Just make top four and anything can happen. So all in all, very pleased with the fight shown at the end to get that try from Luke Northmore. Slightly disappointed we didn't fire more of a shot when we had the ball on the halfway line to almost win the game. We just looked completely spent and out on our feet. But I'll take 2 points. What about you, Dave?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with all of that. I'd like to take you back to Saracens, right? And if
why?
Who's
invited him on?
No. If after Saracens, I told you we were gonna get 5 points at Bath at home, knock Glasgow out of Europe, knock Bordeaux out of Europe, and take 2 points away at Sale, you'd probably go, yeah, I'll take that. And you've got to think that Bath game, the Glasgow game, the Bordeaux game, and this game now have all been decided by less than a converted score. You're not going to win.
They've been humdingers, haven't they? Quite emotionally spent after those. Have a word for the fans, please.
Exactly. So you're not going to win all of those games, and you can't be defined by the bounce of a ball either way. So really, the game changed with that charge down and a Rafi Quirk try, didn't it? Which is so frustrating, and you can talk about the moments with that no arms clear out, but whatever. There's no point getting wrapped up in that. Massive spirit shown right till the end to get the try. Caden Murley making a right goose of George Ford.
Jesus, how
good is it to see Luke Northmore back in the team and scoring tries? The longest goodbye, Luigi Lina getting another couple.
Yeah.
Big Ernie Herps going 80 minutes. Evans and Dombrand 80 minutes again. Super Simon Kerrod reaching a landmark for the club too.
Yeah.
Tyrone Green, the way he fixed the two players on the outside to put Liner in for the first. I'm still optimistic. It's still in Quinn's hands. Three regular season games to go. Two of them at home. Two of them against teams who are currently in the top four as well. So again, with three games of the regular season to go, it is in Harlequin's hands. And yeah, you win your games, you're in the playoffs. So what's it? Hang on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 wins, and it's a double.
There we go.
I was waiting for the start.
Yeah, it is.
Seven.
It's a World Cup. It's a World Cup period.
It's a World Cup. That's all it is. Yeah.
Adding to that as well, Mick, before you weigh in, I think we came out of that injury free, didn't we?
I think so.
Which is important.
Yeah, I think so. I don't remember. I mean, other than maybe just a lot of fatigue being shown, I don't think any sort of major injury concerns. I hope not anyway. We don't often see one of the back three coming off, but Lewis probably just, you know, maybe even a tactical thing with Marcus going to fullback and Evans coming on, Tyrone shifting to the wing. But no, I don't think any major injury concern. Also, I think one of the actual things that was pleasing for me to say was just to see that there's still plenty of depth, isn't there? I mean, we haven't seen much of Simon Kerr this year, but I actually thought his impact on the game was pretty good. Made a couple of lovely little offloads as well in that midfield as well. Hammond. We've been chatting a bit during the week. The sort of stable of second rows that we've got at the minute with, you know, Dino and Joe Launchbury on the shelf, but still having Ernie go 80. Steph's looking pretty fit. George Hammond playing again today. Tom Lorde back in the side.
Yeah. Good rest for Will Collier.
Yeah, good rest for Will Collier. Danny Kerr and Will Porter sort of sharing the 9 shirt. We'll see how that pans out in the next couple of weeks. But we're in a really, really good spot, lads. I think everyone knows that. It just and the main thing today is the 2 points. We did get those two in the end.
Yeah.
So disappointing that we started slowly in that first 15 minutes. And if that Andre Esterhazen kick doesn't get charged down, ifs and buts and candy and nuts. But, you know...
That's a few of the three-word reviews, actually. I don't know if we want to dive into some of those now. And then,
because we've got loads of more exciting things to talk about.
We've got Saints, Exeter, Bath as our final three. And actually, after Exeter's defeat at home to Bath, they look quite beatable away based on that one performance alone. So I wouldn't rule that out as a nice little surprise. Pick me up.
We've, we've seen how good Bath can be, mind. Yeah. Goodness me, when they cut loose. But the table at the moment, Saints 54 points. They're going to get a home tie fine. Well, until we turn them over next week. But realistically, they're probably going to get a try bonus, aren't they? Fine.
Agree.
Leave them go. Bath on 49, Saracens 47, Bristol 45, Quinns 44. That's how important those 2 points are. Sale 42, Chiefs 40. So it's a big ask for Sale and Chiefs now, even though it's only 2 and 4 points behind us. But still having it in our hands to with playing the teams above us is...
At home as well. I reckon win two out of your three. And those two tough ones are at home, so who knows?
And I know it's you know, still funny what we did to Bristol, but 85 points on Newcastle's mental, isn't it?
I think that's the most points in about 19 years that a team has scored.
Wouldn't surprise
absolutely,
me.
Absolutely staggering. From a neutral's perspective, which I know we're very much not in this conversation, but to see Bristol chucking it about again like they did the year where they topped the league and we put them out in the semis is very, very entertaining indeed. They are playing some code, the boys.
Yeah, I suppose so. Anyway, we're going to bash through some three-word reviews quickly. So, Will, we had 120 last week at time of recording after Bordeaux. I tweeted, let's have a little, just quick refresh.
17 minutes ago, and we've had 17 replies. Oh, which is about right. That's good.
We're averaging a reply minute. So, do you want to rattle through two or three?
Yeah, because it's a few people have suggested multiple ones anyway. Bonus points key, Sale never easy, could have been, I'll take two, could have, should have, would have, lots of could have, should have, would have. 3 points squandered is probably a negative take, but not an unfair take. I feel like some of the tries we gave away, perhaps we shouldn't have given away. TMO went missing. That's also true.
Oy.
Go on, Mick, pick it up from there.
I like this one from Cathy Churchill, Scotch Range, that a lot of people will know. Down, not out.
Yes, nice one, Kath.
And also, this will lead us nicely onto our next little point of business from Bill. Big summer kickoff, one word.
Yes.
So let's talk about big summer kickoff. We'll stick Sale in the rearview mirror. We'll talk about the game very, very briefly, and then we'll big up the pre-match party that we're going to have. Yeah. Dave, you watch a lot of code, mate. What are you thinking about next weekend? Obviously, it's at the Stoop, the Big Stoop, I should say, Northampton.
Who's your team as well? Who are you picking?
Oh, come on! I'm not doing that.
No, I might do a little bit of that, but I won't.
Yeah, I'll do a bit of that. I suppose Dave can't do that, can he?
It's potentially one of the games of the season, isn't it?
Yeah, it could be.
Potentially a dress rehearsal for a game at the same venue a few weeks later. Who knows?
Or a European
final. Look,
or a semi-final, I suppose, at Saints. Yeah.
Let's call it as it is. You've got to credit Saints this year, and I know you don't like to, but they've been absolutely outstanding. I remember back the year that we won it, there was lots of chat around about this time of the season about the things that Quinns were doing differently, and they were using the gum shields with the chips in, and they were the first ones to use them, not just for the impact assessments, but also for the training load. So when other teams were perhaps overloading their players, we were going through and saying, "All right, you have done too much work, so you can have a breather, or you need to do a little bit more." Saints have still continued to play 100 miles an hour, but they've worked on their conditioning, so they're not burning out at 60 minutes anymore. And they have put weight on players without sacrificing speed. And they've been absolutely brilliant. Yeah, they're a really good team to watch. But we're a really good team to watch as well. And I remember going up, I can't remember the exact score, but wasn't it something like 31-33 or
when
35?
We should have beaten them and let them for three easy scores.
But it was an awesome game, and I think this could be too. If it's not high scoring, I'll be absolutely gobsmacked. And very often, you know, you can set these games up and they flatter to deceive, and they're a bit disappointing. But I just can't see a way that this game's like that. Also, I know it's a different set of players than a few years ago, but they'll be coming down. That the last time they came for a big game a few Christmases ago, they got walloped.
Yeah.
So there'll be a few players with a.
That was the that was the fire and ice year, wasn't it? Will Edwards.
Yeah, that was the Don Brandt hat trick, wasn't it?
Yes, I think so. In that awful sort of khaki and orange kit.
I'm not having a bad word said about that, Kipley. In fact, that was the first year that... was that the first doubleheader where the women played Wasps?
I think it was. Yeah. I think it was.
The women played Wasps and then the men played... Who are we talking about again? Northampton. and look, I'm looking out the window now because it's 6 p.m. on a Sunday and the sun is pouring through. Yeah. So if it's like this, we are going to have an absolutely... Well, we're going to have an unbelievable awesome day anyway. But
we will.
Two teams who are going to try and run the Watsits chops off it. It was a must-win game for Sale Sharks today, and you saw what it did to them early on. It galvanised them.
Yeah.
And Quins are in a very, very similar position next week. So if it galvanises them and they fly out the gates, then who knows?
Not the worst thing, that result, is it, actually? No. Going into our two biggest games of the season, Northampton at home, the best in the league, at Twickenham, followed by Toulouse away in a European semi-final. Actually, going into those two games off the back of a defeat isn't the worst possible thing. Mm. So we'll take the positives from that one. In terms of team, Mike.
Come on then, let's do it, me and you. I'm going Baxter as well.
Wacker, Collier.
Riley, for me.
Really?
I thought his darts were excellent, so I thought he was good around the park.
He was good. I thought we looked good when we unloaded the bench, though. I thought that was probably when we played. He also, Jack Walker had some good interventions. One of his clear outs in the ruck was monumental, but
coin toss for me.
Don't mind. Second row, I hope Launchbury's back.
Yes, a
couple of weeks off now, he'll have energy in the tank. Hopefully, he'll come straight back in. Steph goes again. Yeah, has to. Our captain,
Chandler Cunningham himself,
has to. Although he looked tired by the end as well.
Nice light week of training for Chandler. I think it'll be just rest up and recuperate, get some stretching in, and get ready to go again.
Yeah, I'd like to sit on Webb for a second because I know he has to play, but players in his position, Dave Rogers will have a very good point of view on this because he knows more rugby than anybody. Players in his position get injured if they don't get a break.
But we just spoke to him and he loves the Quins and he loves playing those big games.
But also, when do you rest him? You've got Northampton at big summer kickoff. You've got a Toulouse semi-final. Maybe you rest him for extra away. What if we need the points?
Let's figure that out after we've beaten Northampton and after we've booked our ticket to a European final, I think. Let's figure out when to get Webber rest. But yeah, it'll be the captain. Not the captain. It'll be Alex Donbrandt. What'd you do at 9?
I'd go Porter.
Yeah, I think I would as well. You said that Danny just looked a bit tired, didn't he, towards the end?
He looked tired. And Danny said in the pre-match, as in Danny Wilson,
said
in the pre-match conversation with Sarah Elgin that he was still carrying a few little niggles and things. So...
Not much changed me anywhere else, I don't think. I think everyone will go again. We talked about
Luke Northmore and Beard a lot, but actually I don't mind it anymore.
We keep saying it, but Lukey's impact today was brilliant, and if he does that again next weekend, then absolutely
fine. They both
fine.
Scored, didn't they?
Both got on the score sheet, yeah.
Again, coin toss, don't mind.
Coin toss. But yeah.
Will Evans has played in every Premiership and every Champions Cup game this season.
Wait, we've not rested Webb.
In fact, not only has he played in every Premiership and every Champions Cup game, he also played in the Prem Cup game against Saracens.
Jesus.
Did he
play against Munster and Scottish in the little Six Nations?
No, I don't think so.
No, he got rested for those. But in those games, he's averaging 68 minutes because he's played 22 games. He's played 80 minutes in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. In 14 of those, he's only played under an hour twice because he came off the bench against Bath away and he was subbed after 49 minutes against Bath at home. So he has played a lot.
Oh my God.
This season.
He has to keep going, doesn't he? I thought his ball carrying today was as good as I've ever seen it. Some of the busts he made, getting his hands free, fighting in the contact. He's been watching Chandler Cunningham himself, I think.
he's outstanding. He's
the best.
He's the heart and lungs of that team. And if he goes well, the team goes well.
How good chatting to him earlier as well, Mike.
Oh, mate,
he'll go till the bitter end if he has to.
Those of you that listened to this will have listened to him earlier. He's a properly nice bloke and absolutely loves the Quins as well. And we've got a little bit of a side bet for when we win the double, me and him. So, yeah, fingers crossed. That all comes to fruition. Anyway, we'll leave the game there and we're going to talk about our little pre-match party before Dave has got one more thing to mention.
Final point. He's actually scored 6 tries this season as well.
Yeah, he gets scores. Yeah.
He's had
big ones as well.
His game. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, big summer kickoff. starting the day off with a live podcast in the Chris Robshaw Bar. We are going to try and release as much information as we can this week. We're going to do some, there'll be a little bit of a social media push in collaboration with the club as well. Doors are going to open from 11:30 via the DHL entrance. So those of you that come into the south side of the ground where the south stand is, you don't go through the gates, you swing a little bit of a right. Those of you that have been into the Robshaw Bar before or after the game, I'm sure there are many of you. It's the same entrance that we leave as that we will be coming in. There'll be seats of roughly 50, and we're going to have it capped. If we fill this, that'd be brilliant, at 500 people. If we fill, it'll be capped at 500.
So the Bristol 500, is it?
If you're in the, if you're number 501 in the queue, then I apologise, you won't be getting in. It'll be capped at 500. But fingers crossed we'll get everyone in.
Who's counting anyway?
Who's counting? I tell you what, they weren't counting in Tiny Rebel.
No, they were. But speaking of Tiny Rebel, Dave, thank you very much. We are going to try... Tiny Rebel was awesome. Those of you that are at the Cardiff Live show were brilliant. Hopefully we can recreate pretty much what we did out there, but with a bit more of a homely feel to it, as we are going to be on our home patch. But we will be getting lots of fan interaction. It won't just be the three of us talking. It will be a little bit of a to and fro. There'll be a bit going on. London Pride are getting behind the event as well, so there will be some free beers kicking around if you're lucky. And there'll be bar open as per usual in the Robshaw Bar, which will be brilliant. We are aiming to wrap up on the dot of 1 o'clock so that our very own Dave Rogers can hightail it over the A316 bridge and into position for the rest of the day. And then it also means the players will be leaving the stoop at 1:30. And we can follow them on the famous walk over the bridge and into HQ. Now, what are we both most looking forward to about this live show? We're not 100% sure on a guest yet, but we'll release that information as it comes. William, talk to me.
Well, it's going to be this week, isn't it? We'll have to find out this week. So
we'll
announce it this week. Keep your eyes peeled for that one. I'm looking forward to recreating what we did in Tiny Rebel. It was amazing. You had, 100 in inverted commas. It was more than 100 people all crammed into the room buying into the same thing. And as Laurie said on the microphone, there's a real tribalism about Harlequins. And we've got the biggest game of the season at Twickenham against the Table Toppers. It's got all the ingredients to be a lot of fun and a very, very special day. So I'm looking forward to going again, doing it all again with you both, and then seeing who we can join to just take it to the next level and dig a little deeper in what it's like to be a Harlequins player. So we'll see who we get. But walking over across the bridge with them all straight after doing that is going to be special. A little bit of a Quinn's army, hopefully a bit of a dress rehearsal for Toulouse away, where we want to welcome the boys off the bus with a few flares. I promised we're ever going to do that. So
we did actually, We started looking at delivering flares to hotels in Toulouse via internet.
I digress. I'll come back to you, Mike, to ask Dave what he's looking forward to most. But before we do, if anybody does know anyone in Toulouse, we need an address to post some flares to, or at least order some flares to. So please get in touch. DMs, email, whatever. But I've got a supplier.
Any Toulouse-based Harlequins fans, let us know your address and we're going to deliver about 100 flares.
Even small towns surrounding Toulouse, that will work too. We just need to get them.
Oh, superb.
Come on, Dave, let's talk to us. You are the master of ceremonies. I know you do this thing for a living, but it's so good to have you with us. But what are we going to looking forward to?
Very, very, very similar to Will. I'm just looking forward to having a load of fun in a room full of people with great energy who are really excited about the game, who are probably a little bit nervous. Hopefully, all of those nerves will subside where we just have a great chat, hopefully have some laughs as well, hopefully get a few nuggets out of a player that maybe we have to sort of toss a coin as to whether they get included in the edit for the podcast or not. And just setting up what is going to be an awesome day, because it's the third big summer kickoff. The previous two have been such good events, and it's just genuinely and generally building, isn't it? Because the big game now is just an integral part of the calendar. Yeah. Everybody really looks forward to it. But I think anybody who's experienced big summer kickoff and the build up before, and you know, the first taste of summer, whatever the taste of summer is to you, has kind of kicked off at Twickenham, and then our fan zone afterwards, and Rockstar Weekend doing Masioki. It's great fun, but it all starts with us. So what we need from you guys listening really is to spread the word. If you're going to come, text your mates, bring them along with you, because yeah, it is capped at 500. It'd be great to get 500, but the most important thing is it's free to come in.
Free to come in, absolutely.
So come and join us. And it's a way that we can kind of all congregate beforehand before joining that group that wishes the players luck and walks them over the bridge to the big stoop. So, yeah, just come and join us and tell your mates and don't be nervous, even if you're on your own. I know a few people before the Cardiff game said, oh, I'm on my own. And well, I want to come.
Come on in.
Make some friends. You'll be made super welcome.
Absolutely.
And yeah, it's gonna have a bit of edge to it, a little bit of fun. We've got some. I want to call it sponsorship, but essentially, it's just free pints of.
It's free pints of pride, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they've got behind it. They've got a great partnership with the club, and we're just gonna have a great crack, and then watch a beautiful game of rugby in the sunshine. It's gonna be an amazing day.
And if you do come, you might be a winner. The club have got behind us with some giveaways. There's going to be a few bits and pieces, potentially some hot off the press big summer kickoff merch, which I know that is on the black market going for hundreds and thousands.
Let me tell you what I've got to do. So a little peek behind the curtain here. The new Hawaiian shirt is green, isn't it? And on the day they
goes with your eyes, Dave.
They're a bit hazel, actually. Anyway. I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I've started now. So on the day they were released, I was given a shirt and a hat to wear for Stoop Live and to wear at Big Summer Kickoff. Unfortunately, I had a really good chat to Ewan on the way out because I had to leave then because I had to go and do a URC game. So I only watched the first half. So watched 10 minutes of the game with him and his dad. And he was like, I like your shirt. And then in a moment of madness, I just gave him my Hawaiian shirt. So now hopefully there are some left in the club shop because I've got to wear one to work that day. So I'm going to have to buy my own shirt to wear to the game.
Sounds like you did the right thing anyway, mate.
Yeah, 100%. Although if you, Ewan, I know you listen to the pod. If I see you at Big Summer Kickoff and you're not wearing that Hawaiian shirt, you're going to be in deep, deep trouble with me, young man.
Well, so good.
But no, it's going to be amazing fun. Will and I also doing a little bit on the pitch with you, Dave.
Pre
Jess Glynn. So if you're in the ground beforehand in your seats, keep an eye out for that, which would be good fun.
What, but are we on the big screen?
Yeah, boy.
Are we?
So I've told you about this.
I think you're doing two bits. I think we're going to get you on the stage in the fan village and to do something in the pitch,
we?
I think so.
Well, what are we doing on the stage? Well,
I don't know. Just go easy. Matty Oakey,
come on.
Go easy on those London Prides beforehand. Because well,
it worked a treat in Cardiff.
Bit of pilot magic for Matty Oakey. We'll get the crowd going. Whoa, I'm not going to. Oh, he's magic.
I'm not going to grass up who it is, but I did speak to one of the players on the stage at the big game. And he might have had a couple of London Prides.
I will have had plenty. It makes for better content, to be honest.
Well, all right. Well, I'll steady the ship then, because I'll be fully, fully professional.
And if Laurie, if you're listening, I know you listen. If you do come into the room, I promise not to make any jokes when you walk up and join us. If you want to come and enjoy it with us.
Yes, yeah, of course.
I'd love to see him return the serve, actually.
Yeah, it would be good.
Something in his back pocket to dish out at you.
And if I know Laurie, and I don't that well, he might do. We will leave it there. D-Rose, thank you so much for joining us, mate. And
we'll see you
on Saturday morning. William, have a great week, mate. And everyone that's listening, please come along to Big Summer Kickoff. And one final shout-out. We have a world record holder in our midst. James Whistler, who was running the London Marathon today, fastest male in a Harlequin's joker. Don't know what the official term is, but he smashed his world record, which is brilliant. Dave's got something to say as well.
He is the second Harlequin supporter to break a marathon record because back in...
Save it for the pod, Dave. Save it for the pod. Save it for the pod.
All right, I'll save it for the pod.
Save it for the pod.
Okay.
Thank you so much, everyone, for joining. See you at Big Summer Kickoff. See you in the Rob Shaw Bar. Keep an eye on the social channels. And come on, you Quins. William, take it away.
Come on, you Quins.
Why would you support anybody else?
Hell, you Quins. Cheers, everyone.